Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 8, day 2 of our study of the book of Judges. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Judges 15, 11 through 20. Well, welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. Again, I am your host, Darren Hibbs. If you're enjoying this podcast, but you'd like a more in-person study, then I want you to check out the 10-week Bible YouTube channel. The same podcasts are over there with all the Bible text, maps, and other helpful videos. Links are in the description and the show notes. All right, with that, would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us, God? Speak to us. Come and touch us. Fill our hearts with the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Judges chapter 15, starting in verse 11. Then 3,000 men from Judah went down to the cave in the rock of Etam and said to Samson, "Don't you realize that the Philistines are rulers over us? What have you done to us?" He answered, "I merely did to them what they did to me." Okay, remember back from yesterday, Samson went and killed a whole bunch of the Philistines because they burned his former bride, his ex-wife, wife, however you want to call it. They burned she and her family to death. And so Samson was angry. So then he went and killed a bunch of them. And then out of what seems like sheer depression, maybe fear, but based on our story here, probably not. My guess is depression. He runs into this cave and he's kind of there pouting, I guess, hiding from the Philistines, hiding from everybody. And the Philistines mount up and they go looking for Samson, and they come into Judah, which is right next to the land of the Philistines. And they're like, "Hey, where is Samson? You need to give him to us. We're going to kill you all because he's a big time criminal in Philistia right now. We don't like him and we want you to hand him over." And so the people of Judah, you know, remember that the Philistines have been ruling over Israel for 40 years. They really don't know any different at this point. And really, when it says that the Philistines ruled over them, the Philistines probably didn't rule over the northern tribes of Israel. There's actually other things going on simultaneously. Some of the judges, when it says that they ruled over all Israel, they ruled over, you know, Israel, sometimes what it means is like they are ruling, but they're not actually over the entire land. That's not exactly how it works. So some of the judges, they actually overlapped. And so Samson is in the southern territory while other people are you know, judging in other parts of Israel. A lot of scholars think that Samson and Jephthah might have been contemporaries of each other. They're ruling at the same time. So Jephthah is up further north in kind of central Israel in the land of Ephraim, while Samson is down here in the south in what would have been the tribes of Judah and Dan. And so there's this overlap, but anyway, Samson is down here, but for 40 years, the Philistines have ruled over at least the southern territory of Israel, the tribes of Judah and Dan, and oppressed them for 40 years. And so these guys are so used to, the tribe of Judah is so used to this oppression, they go to Samson, they're like, "Listen, you need to stop this. Like, we have to turn you over. You're making great trouble for us." And they're so used to this, they're not even thinking about the history of what's gone on for the last several hundred years where there's oppression, the people repent, and the Lord raises up a judge, right? The people have cried out so that God has raised up Samson. That's the reason he's here. And it actually might be that they've been oppressed longer than 40 years, because the Bible says in the beginning of all this, it says that the Philistines had oppressed the Israelites for 40 years when Samson was conceived. So if Samson's 20 now or whatever he is, it could be 60 years that they've been under the thumb of the Philistines. Now, it could have been speaking, you know, generally about the story of Samson, that by the time, you know, Samson became an adult and all of these stories start happening, maybe that's the 40 years that it's talking about. We can't be 100% sure about what exactly they meant about that time frame, but we know for sure it's been at least 40 years since the Philistines have been oppressing the Israelites, and maybe even 60 or more. And so they're so used to this oppression that they're not even thinking that, hey, Samson has been raised up for this purpose. They're not even interested in rallying behind Samson. And unfortunately, Samson is not interested in being their general. He's not interested in rallying them up behind him like all of the other judges. He really stands alone in this way. And also, we don't see that Samson judged anyone. He's called a judge, but we don't have any stories about him actually acting like a judge over the people of Israel. Maybe he did. We can't make an argument from silence because the Bible doesn't say one way or another. It calls him a judge. So we may be able to assume that, but Samson is quite a bit different from everyone else in almost every way as we look at this book. All right, continuing on verse 13 or verse 12. They said to him, "We've come to tie you up and hand you over to the Philistines." Samson said, "Swear to me that you won't kill me yourselves." "Agreed," they answered, "we will only tie you up and hand you over to them. We will not kill you." So they bound him with two new ropes and led him up from the rock. Let's pause right there for a minute because so the people of Judah, again, they're scared of the Philistines. They know where Samson is for some reason. They go and they find him. They're like, "Hey, listen, we're taking you to the Philistines." Obviously, the people of Judah don't yet understand the physical strength of Samson. It almost seems like only Samson and the dead people that he's encountered know about this supernatural strength at this point. And so the people of Judah are like, "Hey, we're going to tie you up and hand you over to the Philistines." And the implication here is we're going to do it regardless. But Samson goes through kind of this back and forth and says, "Okay, I'll let you do it as long as you promise not to kill me yourselves." And so Samson, one, is probably thinking, "You're not going to be able to kill me." But he doesn't want to kill any of the people of Judah. And so he's making this bargain with them so that no one gets the wise idea to try and kill Samson themselves and then turn over the dead body to the Philistines, thinking that, "Hey, you know, we killed him for you. Aren't we awesome? Like, be nice to us." And so Samson is probably thinking, "I don't want to have to kill any of you," because he has a plan. We're going to see that he very much has a plan in place with this whole tying me up thing. He knows what's going on. He knows what's about to happen. And he doesn't want any of his own people. He doesn't want any of the Israelites to have to bear the brunt of what he's going to do. All right, verse 14. As he approached Lehi, the Philistines came toward him shouting. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. The ropes on his arms became like charred flax, and the bindings dropped from his hands. Finding a fresh jawbone of a donkey, he grabbed it and struck down 1,000 men. Okay, a couple things going on here. The Spirit of the Lord came on him. This is an important point. We think of the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, being something that we only find in the New Testament since the day of Acts. Actually, we find the testimony of the Holy Spirit, what's called the Spirit of the Lord in the Old Testament, many times throughout the Old Testament, the Spirit of the Lord falls on people. This is a very common thing. I mean, it doesn't happen in every story on every day, but it's very interesting that the Spirit of the Lord falls on Samson. I mean, of all of the people in the Old Testament, you know, it's like Moses, Elijah, David, even with his shortcomings, and think, yes, the Spirit of the Lord was on them, but the Spirit of the Lord falling on Samson, this is actually a bit offensive. It's like, "Hey, why did you choose this kind of rotten guy, Lord, to let your spirit fall on, especially when really all he thinks about is revenge and killing people with his own hands? You know, he's not trying to lead a rebellion and give Israel freedom. He's just trying to take revenge and violence with his own hands." So everything about this is wrong, yet the Holy Spirit still falls on him. And we know the Lord says that he gives his gifts without apology. He does not make apology. He doesn't explain who or why he gifts, why he does it, or for what reasons. It's his to give. So this gift of supernatural strength that he's given to Samson, he's given it to him without really the input of any other human being. Because any other human being, you or I, and probably a lot of people from Samson's day would have been like, how about somebody else, Lord? How about somebody more stable? Somebody, you know, nicer, somebody that we'd like better. I mean, everything about this is just wrong. It's offensive, but this is who the Lord pours out his spirit on, is Samson. And so the other thing in this is he picks up a jawbone, which he knows he's not supposed to do. He's a Nazarite. He's been given this Nazarite vow from birth until the day he dies. He's not supposed to touch anything dead. And so he picks up this jawbone, which is from a dead donkey, and he uses it to kill his. I mean, he could have found something else. He could have found a stick. He could have taken, could have killed the first Philistine and taken their spear or their sword and killed all the rest of them with that. He chose this jawbone. It seems like on purpose. Maybe it just happened to be the thing that was laying there on his way, but it says he went and found it, and then he used that to kill all these people. And it almost seems like he wanted to say what's coming up next is that he wanted to make a donkey out of them. And you know, the expression is not exactly a donkey. Let the reader understand. That's what he wanted to make out of them. And maybe that's why he chose the donkey jawbone instead of something else. Surely there had to have been something else that he could have chosen. It goes back to a story that my father told me when he used to play ping pong. My father was a professional table tennis player for a while. And when he would play, you know, he used the typical ping pong paddle, table tennis paddle. But one time he was in a tournament against someone that was much, much, much better than him. And the person picked up a hairbrush, you know, the size of like a little bitty hairbrush, and played with the backside of the hairbrush just to prove how much better this guy was than my father. And it's maybe the same kind of thing, is that Samson is making a point that I don't need a sword. I don't need anything. I will pick up a donkey's jawbone and I will kill you all with this thing. And it's exactly what he does. Continuing on verse 16. Then Samson said, with a donkey's jawbone, I have made donkeys of them. Again, let the reader understand what he's really saying. With a donkey's jawbone, I have killed 1,000 men. When he finished speaking, he threw away the jawbone, and the place was called Ramoth Lehi. Ramoth, I believe, is a hill, and Lehi, I believe, is a hill or something like that. And the Ramoth is the jawbone or jaw. I could be getting these confused backwards. I don't speak Hebrew, but basically it went from being the hill to the donkey, the jawbone hill or something like that is what it's called. It's named after this event. Verse 18, because he was very thirsty, he cried out to the Lord, "You have given your servant this great victory. Must I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised?" Then God opened up the hollow place in Lehi, and water came out of it. When Samson drank, his strength returned and he revived. So the spring was called En Hakore, and it is still there in Lehi. Samson led Israel for 20 years in the days of the Philistines. En Hakore, by the way, means the one who cries out or something like that. It's named after this moment when Samson cries out to the Lord, and the Lord actually opens up this spring in this little depression, presumably on the hill of Ramoth Lehi, and the water comes out and he's able to drink. And again, so fascinating that such a flawed person. I want to say this though, Samson is a flawed person every way, but he has incredible faith in the Lord, even though righteousness just does not seem to be on Samson's radar. He's a person of incredible faith. He goes and he knows that if he lets the people of Judah tie him up, he's going to tear those things apart. He trusts in the Lord that he knows that the supernatural strength is going to come on him. And so it was like nothing. Like, he just tears these things off and then he kills 1,000 Philistines by himself, 1,000 with a jawbone, for goodness sake. And then when he comes and he's tired, he cries out to the Lord and he's like, "Lord, I need water. Give me water." And the spring, and the Lord answers by the spring opening up. The Lord does not apologize for who he blesses, who he uses, who he speaks to. He does not apologize for that. Because oftentimes he blesses the people that we would most suspect, the people that we would least like for him to bless and anoint and use. But the good thing about that is he can use you and I. He can use you and I. And how much better to use someone who is full of faith, but someone who is working with the Lord instead of against the Lord in a lot of ways, or someone that the Lord can use because they're chasing after him, not in spite of themselves. Every single one of us, we lack faith and we struggle with sin. So in that way, we're like Samson. But we can learn from the lesson of Samson, and how much greater would it be to be a willing vessel that the Lord can use rather than one that the Lord seems to have to use in spite of ourselves. Well, that's it for today. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time.